What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the First Team All-Pro Podcast. This is episode 36. It's been a month since the last episode. But, yeah, we're not going to waste any time. We're going to get right into it. Let's just get right into the first topic of discussion. Baseball's back, finally, after what feels like an eternity. MLB and the MLB Players Association was able to come to an agreement to end the lockout. So spring training's underway. Spring training games are underway. Opening day, if I'm not mistaken, is April 7th for certain teams, I think. Let's see. I think opening day changes. I think it's different for certain teams. Yeah, I think at least for the Yankees, I know it's April 7th. They play the Boston Red Sox the first week of the season. So, yeah, for Yankees opening day, it's April 7th. I think for most teams in general, I think it's like the first week of April. Because, you know, they're still getting, you know, spring training games in and all that. So, yeah. So I'm just happy that baseball's back. Happy we don't have a completely shortened season. I know they canceled like the first two series of the season, or at least delayed them. But yeah, baseball's back. And then on top of that, let's just get right into the free agency. I mean, it's been crazy. We got a lot to talk about on the MLB front as well as the NHL, because the trade deadline for the NHL was yesterday. So we'll go over that in a little bit. But let's talk about MLB free agency. There was a lot of free agents, a lot of big name free agents that were available on the market. Certain names like Carlos Correa, Freddie Freeman, Trevor Story, just to name a few. So let's get right into it. Let's start with those three names right there. So Carlos Correa, he's done in Houston. He signed a 3-year, $105.3 million deal to go to Minnesota. So Carlos Correa is heading to the Twins. So the Astros lose a huge piece to their lineup. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to them moving forward. I'm sure they're still going to be a good squad, but considering they still got, Alex Bregman and, Yordan Alvarez and Jose Altuve, of course. But who knows what's going to happen moving forward. The Astros also lost to Zach Greinke. Greinke signed a 1-year deal to return to Kansas City. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So they lost some pitching depth too. Again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Astros moving forward. But let's hop right into the next big free agency signing. Jorge Soler, the World Series MVP this past season for the Atlanta Braves, signs a 3-year, $36 million contract with the Miami Marlins. This one's a little bit of an interesting situation because the Marlins, they haven't been good in a really long time, but from what I saw out of them last season with some of the players they got in that lineup, they could make, a surprise. They could surprise a lot of people this season. And adding Jorge Soler to that lineup is a big bonus. So, again, I think that's a huge loss for the Braves, to be honest with you. Not as big of a loss as this next player I'm about to talk about. Freddie Freeman is heading to the LA Dodgers. Whoa. Like, who would have thought? Like, I first off, I did not see that coming, like, whatsoever. Out of every single, like, signing, that's the one I did not expect, because the Braves went through the Dodgers to get to the World Series and, you know, and win the World Series, you know. So seeing, I don't know, seeing Freddie Freeman in Dodger blue just does not sit right with me. It doesn't sit right with me at all, honestly. But, yeah, so the Dodgers came to an agreement with Freddie Freeman on a 6-year, $162 million deal. And if you look at that lineup now, like, you thought that lineup was scary. I mean, let's be honest, still pretty scary. Let's be real. Because they still, you got, you know, Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger and company. But adding Freddie Freeman to that lineup, sheesh. Oh, my Lord. I mean, that's going to be crazy. That's going to be a crazy lineup to watch this season. What else? And then on top of that, let's see. What else? Trevor Story. Let's hop right into the next one. But actually, before we hop right into the, you know, talking about Trevor Story signing, Freddie Freeman was a fan favorite in Atlanta. Basically the face of the franchise his entire career there. He was basically the face of the franchise during his tenure there. Again, he was a fan favorite, and he's definitely going to be missed in Atlanta. So whoever's going to fill that void, who knows? But I don't know. I think that's a huge loss. Like, losing Jorge Soler and now Freddie Freeman, that's a huge loss in my eyes for the Atlanta Braves. I'm going to be honest with you. Those are two big bats in the lineup that came up clutch for the Braves on numerous occasions throughout the playoffs, throughout their World Series run, especially Jorge Soler in the World Series. I mean, he won the World Series MVP after all. So, yeah, it's an interesting situation. And with that being said, let's hop right into the next one. Trevor Story, 6-year, $140 million deal with the Boston Red Sox. I don't know how I feel about that, because as I mentioned numerous amounts of times throughout previous podcast episodes, I'm a Yankees fan. So obviously I did not want to see him end up in a Red Sox jersey. I just don't know how to feel about that one. The Red Sox lost Kyle Schwarber. He went to Philadelphia, but getting Trevor Story is still a pretty good accomplishment in terms of filling out the lineup. That's still a pretty decent bat. I mean, if you think about their lineup, like, they think about it last season. Like, everyone's like, I'm hearing people on Twitter saying, oh, like, this lineup isn't going to do anything. They're not going to, you know, make a deep run. Like, that's what everyone else thought, like, including myself. It was like, you know, this is the Yankees year to win the division, make a deep run. And then all of a sudden, the Red Sox, out of the blue, out of nowhere, just, you know, because let's be honest, you'd be lying to yourself if you said you didn't expect the Red Sox to tank last season. There are, like, numerous, you know, reports, you know, everyone on Twitter was like going on like, oh, the Red Sox are going to end up tanking, and they didn't. They were two games away from the World Series. Two games away. And that brings up my next point. If you look at their lineup, they got Rafi Devers still, JD Martinez, Kike Hernandez, Xander Bogaerts, and of course now you add Trevor Story. That lineup is looking dangerous. And of course you got Verdugo, Bobby Dalbec, and of course they got Jackie Bradley Jr. back. That lineup still has potential to be dangerous. Like, as much as I hate to say it, that lineup really has potential to have another dangerous season and cause some problems for a lot of teams. I mean, again, looking at the, like, like, because I'm looking at MLB on Fox's post on their projected starting lineup. They could have Kike Hernandez first, Devers second, Bogarts third, then JD Martinez, and then Trevor Story. First off, the fact that you have to go through Hernandez, Devers, and Bogarts all in a row, that just spells trouble for opposing pitchers. And, you know, as a Yankee fan, I don't know how the Yankees pitching is going to, you know, adjust to that if that is the starting lineup come opening day. Because any fellow Yankees fan knows, if you watched last year's wild card game, you know exactly what happened. I mean, I don't need to give any further explanation, but I'll give credit where credit's due. The Red Sox found the way to upgrade their lineup. I mean, and the AL East, and just keeping it in the AL East, it's going to be an absolute bloodbath. I mean, with the, you know, the Blue Jays upgraded their lineup. I mean, speaking of that, let's head right to the Blue Jays. They acquired some big pieces. Let's see. Man, where is it? Where was it? I'm trying to find the posts. They posted something about it. Where is it? Oh, man, this is... let's see. Ah, here we go. The Blue Jays got Matt Chapman. They got Matt Chapman. I mean, the Blue Jays roster, like, if you thought it wasn't scary now, if there's one team that... If there's, like... I know, like, the Rays, Red Sox, and, you know, the Yankees still have, they all have decent lineups. But the Blue Jays, I mean, sheesh. I mean, look at their roster. Like, they have Springer, Bichette, now Chapman, Kevin Biggio, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Like, that's already insane. Like, that lineup is already insane. Of course, they got Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Teoscar Hernandez, you know, Randall Grichuk. That lineup is deep. This is another lineup that can pose problems for opposing pitchers. Because, I don't know what their projected lineup is going to be come opening day. But if you have to face Chapman, Bichette, or... Let's just say, like, Bichette, Chapman, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. all in a row. Like, and then, of course, George Springer, like, leading off or something. If you have to face George Springer, Bichette, Chapman, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. in a row, you're in for a long game. Because, again, you know, much like the Red Sox lineup, you know, this upcoming season, they have a chance to be really dangerous. If last season was the preview, oh, man. It's going to be a rough go for a lot of teams this season if you're facing that Blue Jays lineup. And then, of course, they added pitching depth. I mean, the only issue is, of course, they lost Robbie Ray. I mean, he signed with the Mariners. That was the biggest thing for them. They couldn't bring him back. But nonetheless, that's going to be a dangerous team to face, especially this season. And then, yeah. So, again, the Blue Jays, Red Sox, Rays, Yankees. I would say the Baltimore Orioles, but I'm sorry, Orioles fans. I don't think you have a shot to make the playoffs. Like, I know the Orioles got some nice young talent there, but with the way the AL East is shaping up, with the way those teams are making moves, it's looking like the AL East is going to be a bloodbath once again. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And then, speaking of the AL East, we'll keep it in the AL East for a minute. Let's talk about the New York Yankees. They re-signed Anthony Rizzo, 2-year, $32 million deal. The second I saw that signing, it was basically a guarantee at this point that Luke Voit was out of here. I mean, it sucks because I really like Luke Voit, but... You know, he's got that pop whenever he hits the baseball. He's definitely can definitely hit some, get some clutch hits, huge home runs. But yeah, once I saw Rizzo re-sign, that was basically the end for Luke Voit in New York, and Luke Voit ended up getting traded to San Diego. So, you know, it sucks. Like I said, as a Yankees fan, I really loved Luke Voit's time in pinstripes. But at the same time, like, it seemed like he got injured a lot. I don't know how long that was going to, you know, I don't know if that really was the reason for the Yankees traded him. But, you know, at the same time, though, I like having Rizzo there. I think he's definitely going to – I feel like he definitely is going to fill in the first base position well for the Yankees for the next 2 years. But at the same time, who knows what's going to happen for the Yankees this season. Because they also traded away – they also made another trade actually back on March 13th. They got Josh Donaldson and IKF, Isaiah Kiner Falefa. I'm really hoping I've pronounced that name right. They got Josh Donaldson from the Twins and IKF from the Rangers. They got Kiner Falefa from the Rangers, and from what I've been hearing, he's got good instincts. And I think he can really fit in at shortstop. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, again, time will tell. From what his stats showed. Let's see. From what I saw, I mean, he's only been in the league for like 4 years. From what it looks like, his batting average has been pretty good, batting over 250. So for his first 4 years in the league. Where's this? Is that right? 4 years in the. I don't know. I'm on Baseball Reference, so they're, you know. Let's see. Let's double check, and then I'll get right into the NHL trade discussion or trade deadline, I should say. Yeah, he's been in the league been in the big leagues for the last 4 years. His batting average, batting .265 for his career. Not bad, honestly. Not bad at all. If you're batting over .250, that's pretty damn good, honestly. So obviously he's not a home run hitter, but you know, that's the thing with the Yankees lineup. They don't need home run hitters because they got like they don't need like, you know, swing for the fences type players, considering they already got Aaron Judge and of course Giancarlo Stanton. And then this next thing, they got Josh Donaldson too from the Twins. He's 36 years old. I don't know how I feel about that, especially with the whole incident that's been going down with Gerrit Cole. That's been happening since last season. So I don't know how that how the locker room chemistry between those two is going to go. I hope it goes well, because the last thing I need to hear is that there's drama in the Yankees locker room. But this is basically a wait and see approach. You know, if they pan out, that's great. They can definitely help out the lineup. I mean, Josh Donaldson was nicknamed the Bringer of Rain. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, and that's not even what I'm concerned about with this trade. They traded Gary Sanchez. All right, yeah. We all kind of knew that was going to end up happening. I mean, but and then of course Gio Urshela. That's the one that kind of angered me the most, because
he was a valuable player. He gave effort night in and night out when he was both in the lineup and, you know, on the field. I mean, if you like I said, example A, go back to that Rays game, last game of the season against Tampa in the Bronx. I mean, he made that diving catch into the Rays dugout, putting his body on the line. I mean, that's just one of the many examples of what he can do. So, yeah, Gio Urshela is going to be missed. I mean, same with Gary Sanchez, but I'm going to be honest. Most Yankees fans are probably happy that Gary Sanchez is gone. Let's be honest with ourselves. But, yeah. And then the Mets, speaking of New York teams, let's head to the Mets. The Mets got Chris Bassitt from the A's, and that's another thing. The A's are selling off their players left and right. A's fans, I apologize. I'm so sorry for what's happening to your team. It just completely imploded. Like, they had a nice team the last couple of seasons, and now all of a sudden they're just blowing it up. Kind of like how the Cincinnati Reds are doing that right now. They let Nick Castellanos walk. Who else? Before we get back to, you know, the Mets and the A's for a minute, let's see. Because the Reds, like, I don't know what they were thinking. You know, Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez, they sent them to the Mariners. Like, the Reds and A's, like, every other team is trying to get better. The Reds and A's are just blowing it all up. And if I'm going to be honest right here, the Reds are going to waste Jonathan India's career. Like, if Nick Castellanos is still a free agent, which I don't think he is, which he's not, because I'm pretty sure he signed with Philadelphia. Yeah. So, they, like, if there was one team, and that's what frustrates me, like, as a baseball fan, that's what frustrates me. You have a team that's on the rise, got a nice young team coming up, you know, potential to do damage, make a run at the World Series, make a run towards the playoffs, and then they just blow it all up. I don't know what happened in Cincy, but this, and what I'm seeing right now, what I'm about to see with Jonathan India's career in Cincinnati, is the exact same thing that happened with Joey Votto. He's gonna be a legendary player. He's gonna turn out to be a legendary player, but the Reds are gonna waste his talents. I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong, because that's what happened in the last God knows how many years when Joey Votto was in Cincy. So, again, at this point, you might as well get Joey Votto on a contender. At this point. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Get him on a contender. Or get him on a World Series. Or get him on a team that has a really good opportunity to win the World Series. And no, and by that, I mean anyone but the Dodgers. Because I'm going to be honest. The Dodgers, like, the rich get richer. The Dodgers got Freddie Freeman. Like, come on. Anyway, back as I was saying. And then, of course, the A's, going back to the A's, they got rid of Matt Olson. They sent him to Atlanta. And that was basically confirmation that Freddie Freeman wasn't coming back, because the Braves signed them to a 8-year, $168 million extension. So, again, who knows what happens moving forward. But, you know, the Phillies made some moves. They got Kyle Schwarber from Boston. I honestly didn't see that coming. I kind of figured the Red Sox would find a way to probably, you know, bring him back. You know, didn't happen. Phillies signed them. And not only that, the Phillies got Nick Castellanos too. So, the Phillies, man. The Phillies are—they have the potential to look dangerous this season. Who knows what happens with their pitching situation? Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. I mean, those were basically all the moves, big moves, I should say, that were made. I mean, the San Francisco Giants got Carlos Rodon. to a 2-year, $44 million deal. Of course, the Dodgers re-signed Clayton Kershaw. Of course, the Mets, you know, the Mets got Max Scherzer. Let's not forget that. I'm going to be honest. If there's one team that has really has, if there's any team in that in the National League right now that has, that should have significant expectations right now, it's the Mets. I mean, you got, oh, of course. And another Oakland A is on the Mets. Mark Canha. He's going to be in left field. And of course, you got Francisco Lindor, Starling Marte, Jake DeGrom, of course. Max Scherzer, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, Chris Bassett, another Oakland A, former Oakland A, Dominic Smith, Carlos Carrasco. I mean, the Mets, with the way the Mets pitching rotation looks, especially, of course, with DeGrom and Scherzer, this should be another year full of expectations for the Mets to get into the playoffs. And if they don't, oh boy, a lot of people are going to roast them, like especially fans of teams in their division. Yeah. So, the Mets should definitely have Mets and Mets fans should definitely have high hopes for the season. Again, who knows what happens? Again, as a Yankee fan, I don't know how to feel. I don't know what to feel right now because it seems like every team in our division has gotten better. And I honestly don't know what's going to happen with the Yankees bullpen. I know we got Gerrit Cole. I know they got Gerrit Cole and, you know, Jameson Taillon. But on top of that, I really don't know what's going to happen. AL East, like I said, it's going to be a bloodbath. But yeah, it's been an interesting free agency so far, but either way, baseball's back, and in this next part, I'm gonna get right into the NHL trade deadline, so let's get right into it. Now, with the MLB fully discussed about that, or with the MLB out of the way, talks out of the way, and baseball season coming back, now we get to the NHL trade deadline. Oh boy, there were a lot of trades that went down. A lot of trades. Well, first off, let's get to signings. Let's go to signings and extensions first. The Bruins re-signed Jake DeBrusk 2 years at $4 million AAV. So, but they're still, you know, of course, Jake, there have been reports that Jake DeBrusk still wants to be traded. So I think he was on the last year of his contract. So they're still going to. So again, the Bruins brought him back. Who knows what happens at the end of the season, whether or not he gets moved or even at the beginning of next season. Who knows? But Anton Forsberg for the Senators, goalie for the Senators. 3 years, $2.75 million AAV for 3 years, like I said. So they brought him back. Blake Lizotte, 2 years at $1.675 million AAV. He re-signed with the LA Kings. And those were, and then we get to the big signing, the big re-signing. Jesperi Kotkaniemi for the Hurricanes, 8 years at $4.82 million AAV. I mean, if he can, you know, if he can really, like, contribute, I think the contract can work out. But if he's putting up good stats, putting up good numbers, I think it'll be just fine. If not, who knows what happens? But again, the Canes re-signed Kotkaniemi. Let's get into the trades. Let's start with Seattle. Seattle traded Marcus Johansson. In return, they got Daniel Sprong, a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick. They traded, of course, with the Washington Capitals. Who knows what's, like I said, I have no idea what's going to happen with that trade. I mean, it seems like Seattle Like, they traded a lot of the guys in their a lot of the guys they picked up in the expansion draft didn't really last long. I mean, Mark Giordano, another example, he got traded to the Maple Leafs. So I think I highlighted that trade. Yeah. Giordano got traded to the Maple Leafs. What else? On top of that, the Kraken also traded Mason Appleton. They sent him back to Winnipeg for a 2023 fourth round pick. The Kraken also traded Jeremy Lauzon for a 2022 second round pick. So I don't know what's going on in Seattle, but it's looking like a lot of the guys they selected in the expansion draft aren't really working out from what it looks like. What else? And then Anaheim's been making moves. The Anaheim Ducks are in complete overhaul mode at this point. They traded Nick Delorier for a 2023 third round pick. They got that from the Minnesota Wild, but that wasn't the big one. This was the big one. They traded Hampus Lindholm to the Bruins, so the Bruins can bolster their defensive core. I'm assuming he's probably going to end up pairing with Charlie McAvoy, I'd imagine. I don't know. We'll see. In exchange, they got a first-round pick, two second-round picks, Urho Vaakanainen and John Moore. And any Bruins fan knows, if you're a Bruins fan or if you've paid attention to John Moore, his contract was a little iffy on the Bruins. If not, he was, I'd probably say it was a bad contract. Like, if you follow the Bruins, then you probably know the issue with John Moore's contract. And, of course, Anaheim's retaining 50% of Hampus Lindholm's contract. That was one of the big ones. That was the big one for Anaheim. And, you know, following that, Hampus Lindholm got a major extension with Boston following him getting traded there. 8 years, $6.5 million AAV. I'm going to be honest with you. I know what a lot of Bruins fans are going to say. Like, you know, it looks like a good contract. You know, it could pan out. But here's the thing. Defensemen and big contracts, I'm going to be honest with you, that doesn't really work out too well in the end. Obviously, Hampus Lindholm gets a fresh start. He gets a chance to prove it. But I don't know. I think the money value is good, but for 8 years, I don't know. I'm gonna be honest with you. That contract's gonna be a wait and see approach. Like I said, defensemen in the NHL getting massive extensions usually doesn't pan out. That's all I'm saying. But obviously, there could be a pleasant surprise if, you know, like if you're a Bruins fan, the upside is, like, if you're getting the upside and the potential there is, he could be dominating with Charlie McAvoy on the blue line. That's what you're hoping for if you're a Bruins fan, to help solidify the defense. But again, I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then we get to other big names. Claude Giroux is officially out of Philly. Honestly, good. Because Claude Giroux, very talented player. I honestly say he's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's a Hall of Famer. There, I said it. And if you want to argue with me, Bring up a case. I think Giroux's a Hall of Famer. But again, shortly after his 1,000th game played, he was traded to Florida, which now gets some huge. That's huge for the Panthers. First off, they definitely need more depth, and they're already a really deep team. They're already a really stacked team. But now that they get Giroux, they just got even better. So on top of that, this was the trade. Claude Giroux and Connor Bunneman was sent to Florida. The Flyers get Owen Tippett, a first-round pick and a third-round pick. That was a huge trade there. And then what else? What other trades were made? Let's go to the Avalanche. Josh Manson was sent to Colorado by Anaheim. Anaheim gets a second rounder and Drew Helison. So, like I said, the Ducks are overhauling the core right now to make room for the young guns. The Avalanche also got Nico Sturm and in exchange for Tyson Yost. Tyson Yost went to Minnesota. What else? The Rangers. This is the Rangers. That's my team. They got Frank Vetrano from the Panthers in exchange for a fourth rounder. I think Vetrano can make a good impact for the Rangers. I'm pretty happy with it. I want to see. Obviously, when we get into when I talk about more of the Rangers moves, it'll make sense to a lot of people why the Rangers made these moves. Because if anyone's watched the Rangers this season, you know their bottom six. It has been a little bit of a problem. Like their top six is locked in. Like, of course, you know, Panarin, Zibanejad, and Chris Kreider, who's having a monster season. But again, looking at their bottom six, it was really weak. So I think that's why they went out that's why they made that trade to get Frank Vetrano. But that isn't the last time the Rangers are mentioned throughout this. And then we get to another one. Another Florida trade. Florida gets Ben Chiarot in exchange for a first-round pick, fourth-rounder, and Ty Smolanik. I believe that's how I pronounced it. But I'm going to be honest with you. Florida, what are you doing? Like, getting Claude Giroux, all right, yeah, that makes sense. But Ben Chiarot, for a first rounder? Like, you do oh, man, excuse me. I had to cough right there. I'm like, excuse me? A first round pick? You gave up a first round pick. Like, you do realize if you completely crap the bed next season, you do realize the Montreal Canadiens potentially have a top five pick. Like, if you guys, like, if the Panthers have a disastrous season next year, the Canadian, like, your pick is in the hands of the Canadiens, and they can easily have like a top 10 or a top five. Maybe if the Panthers have a really disastrous season, have a top three pick, like, next season. I just don't get it. Like, Trading for Ben Chiarot for a first round pick. I don't know. I would have maybe thrown in a second rounder instead, maybe like two second rounders. But a first rounder, that move just doesn't make sense. I'm going to be honest with you. So, Florida fans, good for you for getting Claude Giroux, but you better hope you don't collapse next season, because you won't have a first round pick. Anyway, that being said, another Seattle trade, Cal Yarncrock, another guy they picked up in the expansion draft. They sent him to Calgary for a second rounder, third rounder, and a seventh rounder. Again, they sent Cal Yarncrock to Calgary. I guess a lot of the guys haven't worked out. I mean, what do you expect? Every expansion team's going to have lows. I wouldn't be selling a whole lot of pieces this early, because you're just rushing the prospects in the farm system to get to the pros that quick. And everyone knows if you're rushing prospects to get to the league that quick, most of the time it doesn't pan out. That's all I'm saying. Here's another trade between the Lightning and the Blackhawks. The Lightning got Brandon Hagel and two fourth-round picks in exchange for two first-round picks, Taylor Radish and Boris Kachuk. Kachuk. You get the point. Like I said, I hope I didn't pronounce that wrong. I'm going to be honest. Some of the names I know I definitely botched. But, yeah, Blackhawks got 2 first-round picks. But I'm going to be honest with you, they're probably not going to be nothing unless Tampa completely collapses the next couple of seasons. That's the only way the Blackhawks win this trade. But who knows? Tampa obviously is still in cup contention. I mean, obviously, right? They won back-to-back Stanley Cups. But, yeah. What else? And the Mark Giordano trade. The Kraken, I don't know what they're doing. Like, they basically overhauled their entire team they drafted from the expansion draft. Because, like I said, this is the Mark Giordano trade. They traded Mark Giordano and Colin Blackwell, and they got 2 second-round picks and a 3rd-round pick. I'm going to be honest, the Leafs can make these trades all they want. Like, I'm going to be honest, still not convinced. Like, I know the Kraken basically don't have any, you know, basically don't have a roster at this point, but the Leafs trying to go for Mark Giordano and Colin Blackwell, I'm still not sold on them making advancing to the second round. Going to be honest with you, if you looked at their goalie situation, I mean, God forbid, I mean, look what happened. Peter Mrazek was put on waivers. Like 1 year into 1 year into his 3-year contract with the Leafs, put on waivers. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Mark Giordano and Colin Blackwell can help out the Leafs. I don't know. But that was basically, I think, the only. This was 2 days ago. This was not even on the some. A lot of these trades that I'm highlighting weren't even on the day of the trade deadline. They were like a day before or 2 days before the trade deadline. What else? I highlighted these. And then this was another big trade. Marc-Andre Fleury to the Minnesota Wild? What? And for a conditional second round pick for the Blackhawks. Like, and this is what makes me nuts. Like, I know Marc-Andre Fleury is a great goaltender, obviously a Hall of Famer. We all know that. I don't need to go through his list of accomplishments. But you go for 37-year-old Marc-Andre Fleury, who's basically at the end of his career, and you trade your 25-year-old goalie Kaapo Kähkönen to San Jose. This is another deal that doesn't make sense to me. Like, why? He literally was the goalie of the future for the Wild, and gonna be honest with you, it doesn't look like Minnesota's gonna have a goalie, like a decent goalie for a while. Like, and think about this. Instead of having, like, Kaapo Kähkönen, you now have Cam Talbot and Marc-Andre Fleury, which, by the way, like I said, Marc-Andre Fleury, 37 years old. Cam Talbot, 34 years old. Just saying. So, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. That was probably the worst possible trading Kaapo Kähkönen was probably the worst thing the Wild could have done. And all I'm going to say is this. I don't want to hit too hard on the Wild because they got a decent team around them. They got a pretty good team around them otherwise. But, like, unless you're getting, like, 2016, 2017, or 2008 and 2009. Like, unless you're getting prime Fleury, like, or Marc-Andre, or the Fleury that performed exceptionally well throughout the turned into God mode during the playoffs when he was with the Penguins. Like, unless you're getting that Fleury, gonna be honest with you, this isn't gonna work out. That's just my opinion. And if you're a Minnesota fan, you can argue with me in the comments on my Instagram page. But anyway, and then, so either way, I think that's it. That's just a really bad trade for Minnesota. Anyway, Next order of business, Rangers got Justin Braun from Philadelphia for a third-round pick. Justin Braun, the Rangers definitely, like, as a Ranger fan, we, like, besides the bottom six, the defense definitely needed help because a lot of their, like, most of their defensemen are young, like Adam Fox and Keandre Miller, two young defensemen right there. You know, they got, obviously, Ryan Lindgren and Jacob Trouba, but and then they have Patrick Nemeth, and let's be honest, he's performed well in the last couple of weeks. He's definitely improved, but let's be honest, Justin Braun is a major upgrade over Nemeth. I think the Rangers definitely bolstered their blue line a little bit. I think that's good, honestly, for the Rangers. They definitely needed that. Bottom six and defense was a little bit of a I'm not saying all the defense. Obviously, you know, they have last year's Norris Trophy winning defenseman in Adam Fox. And, of course, they got Keandre Miller, Ryan Lindgren, and Jacob Trouba, who are all performing well. So, but it's just that weak link in Patrick Nemeth. So I think getting Justin Braun there really helps. So what else? Again, I don't even know if I'm going to highlight all these trades. Might make another episode based on it. But what else? Andrew Cogliano. I'm just going to go rapid fire at this point. Andrew Cogliano got sent to the Avalanche from the Sharks in exchange for a fifth-round pick. Arturi Lehkonen also going to the Avs in exchange for a second-rounder and Justin Barron. Tyler Mott. And then going back to the Rangers for a minute, Chris Drury with an absolute fleecing of Vancouver. Tyler Mott for a fourth-round pick. They gave up a fourth-round pick to get Tyler Mott. And from what I've been hearing, especially on Twitter and Instagram under, like, NHL discussion or just NHL in general, Tyler Mott could be a really good addition for the Rangers, especially on, like, the power play or the penalty kill. From what I'm hearing, it's really going to help out the Rangers a lot. What I've been seeing from comments from Canucks fans, he gives his heart and soul every time he steps out on the ice. So that's really good. Really good to hear. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do for the Rangers. And then another Rangers trade. The Rangers got Andrew Kopp for 2 second rounders, a fifth rounder, and Morgan Barron. The Rangers also got a sixth rounder in exchange as well. But Morgan Barron, I'm going to be honest with you. He did not get enough ice time. I mean, kind of makes sense. I'm surprised the Rangers didn't give up like Kravtsov or Nils Lundqvist, like, because that's what I was worried about. I was like, please, I was kind of like, please do not take Kravtsov or Lundqvist. And Morgan Barron, like, as much as I loved him on the team, like, he's able to get more ice time now that he's in Winnipeg. I'm going to be honest with you because, you know, with how the team was structured, there was no way he was getting a whole lot of ice time. So it kind of made sense. So, and another condition of those trades, those second round picks, if the Rangers make the Eastern Conference Finals, one of those second round picks becomes a first round pick. So who knows? Winnipeg might have a first round pick in their back pocket. Overall, I think it's a trade that benefits both teams. Obviously, Andrew Kopp helps fix the bottom six up. So, again, along with you know, Tyler Mott and Frank Vetrano. So, that'll definitely help the bottom six. I'm loving – I honestly love the moves Drury made, you know. So, honestly, not a bad day of work for Chris Drury. But then we get to the big one. Rickard Rakell, which I've been hearing, again, this was another player the Rangers were trying to go all in for. Rickard Rakell, and again, this goes back to Anaheim basically overhauling the core. Ricard Raquel is going to the Penguins. And if I'm going to be honest with you, this is basically it for the Penguins, because if I'm not mistaken, Evgeny Malkin's contract comes to an end this season. I'm pretty sure multiple other Penguins contracts come to an end this season. And if they don't bring Malkin back, I'm going to be honest with you, this is basically the last hurrah, I think, for that Penguins core. And I think they're trying to go all in to try to make sure they can, if this is the last hurrah for that core, they can make and count. So, again, the Penguins got Ricard Raquel in exchange. The Ducks got a 2022 second-round pick. Calais Klang, Dominic Simone, I'm just going to say Simone. And Zach Aston-Reese. So, and then there was a three-way trade. Max Domi went to Carolina. It was a three-team trade, which involved Florida, Columbus, and Carolina. Really, the notable player that got traded in that was Max Domi, and he went to Carolina. But, So, that's basically it, honestly. I kind of just wanted to do a rapid fire on that. So, that being said, that was the trade deadline for the NHL. And I would talk some football. I know I haven't talked football in a little bit. A lot of teams made moves. But I think I'm going to leave that for the next episode. I don't know. But with that being said, this has been your host, LT Nasty. I'll see you in episode 37. Peace.